Today's Shem Seftachon Daf Nun Aleph. We will begin on Daf Nun Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Hemsus Abeis HaKoisus. So you would learn in the Mishnah that a kosher animal has four stomachs. Two of those stomachs are the Beis HaKoisus. The second stomach, the Hemsus, is the third stomach. And the Mishnah taught us that if there's a puncture in the Beis HaKoisus or in the Hemsus, the animal's treif. Says the Gemara Tanah Rabbanan Machash Nimtzis Boivi Beis HaKoisus. If there's a needle found in the Beis HaKoisus, if Mitzad Echad, as Rashi explains, it only penetrates the inner layer, the animal's kosher, Mishnei Tzadim, if it's found on both sides, if it penetrated both layers, it's treif. Interesting discussion in the Rishonim, focused on the word Oivi Beis HaKoisus. What does the Mishnah use? What does the Brisa use the word ovi, the thickness? So some Rishonim take the opinion that the entire flesh of the Beis HaKoisus is considered to be ovi, is considered to be thick. And that's why the Brisa says the thickness, because it's a thick flesh that the Halacha considers as if it has two layers. Other Rishonim say that apparently the flesh of the Beis HaKoisus is wide and gets thinner. What the Brisa means is that only in the part where it's thicker does the Halacha consider it like it has two layers and the din we just explained is relevant. In the place where the flesh is not so thick, this din doesn't apply. Furthermore, the Rishonim also discuss, does this Halacha apply only to the Beis HaKoisus or does this Halacha apply to the Hemsus as well? Continues the Brisa, Nimtzalo Kurtam, if there's some blood on the needle, b'yidush lefnei shechita. That's a clear indication that this puncture was there before the shechita, and the animal is not kosher. Lo nimtza alei kurtam, if there is no blood on it, b'yidush lachas shechita. It came after the shechita, and the puncture after the shechita obviously is not a problem. So the Rishonim and Achronim asked the obvious question. If the blood is the indication, if the blood is in the indication, so what do we have to speak about the hole on one layer or two layers? Just look at the blood. If there's blood, do we have a problem? If there's no blood, there's no problem. So I saw a number of answers to this question. Actually, three answers. One answer I saw is that what the Brisa means is not to say that the blood alone is an indication. The blood with the needle, that means if the needle only penetrates one layer, you have no problem. If the needle penetrates two layers, it doesn't mean you have immediately a problem. Now you have to see if there's blood. If it penetrated both layers and there's blood, now you have a problem, otherwise you don't. One teretz. Another teretz, it makes a difference if where the blood is. Meaning, if the needle only penetrated one layer, then only if the blood is on the tip of the needle do you have a problem. If both layers have a hole in them, then as long as it's bloody in that area, even if the needle itself doesn't have any blood on it, it's treif. A third opinion I saw in the Achroinim how to answer this question is at what point, and we're going to have this concept in the coming shiurim, do we have a chiy bedika? At what point do we have to start investigating? Do we have a problem or not? And the way to understand the Gemara is as follows: if there's one hole, we don't have to check. If there's two holes, we have to check. Interestingly, our Gemara is teaching us that unless the needle penetrated both layers, we have to be concerned that we don't have to be concerned that the animal is treif. But what happens sometimes, apparently some sefer, other places can discuss this issue, is that there's a sircha. We spoke about sirchas extensively by the Reya. And the lungs, sometimes there's a sircha on the stomach. You don't see a needle, but you see a sircha. So what's the halacha with that sircha? So actually, most people who are makban on glat meat, if there's a sircha on the stomach, won't consider that animal glat. But we're talking about hilchos kashrus. So it's interesting, the Chasam Sofer has a very interesting approach. The Chasam Sofer says as follows: if there's a sircha on the stomach, we don't see a needle, but we see a sircha, and in the stomach we find a needle, even though it's not going through the walls of the stomach, he says the animal is not kosher. But if there's a sircha on the stomach, and there's nothing found in the stomach, nothing metal sharp found in the stomach, it could be more lenient. Continues the Braisa. Higlid piyamaka, if there's a scab on that puncture, b'yiduah shloshim yom kodem shchita. It's obvious that this hole was there already for 3 days, at least before the shchita. Because that's the minimum amount of time it takes for a scab to form. Lo higla piyamaka, but if there is no scab, the loch is hamotzi mechaver l'raya. Which means very simple. Somebody bought an animal, shechted the animal, found this puncture on the stomach. And the animal's a treif, as we're learning. So he wants to pay for the animal. The animal can't eat it. It's not kosher. So if there's a scab on it, it's there at least 3 days. And therefore, if he bought the animal within the last 3 days, he bought the animal that was defected and he could give it back. If there is no scab, as the Rishonim explained, there is no clear indication when the maka came. It could have come before I bought it, but I can't conclusively prove it. Because, as the Rishonim explained, since there's so many fluids in the body of the animal, it could be that the puncture is there a while, but those fluids prevent the scab from forming. But I don't have the ability to prove it, and therefore I have to pay. I'm stuck. So as Rashi explains, and this is what Chassam Sof explains what Rashi's saying, it's as follows. The Braisa is speaking about a situation where the kainah, the buyer, paid for this animal, shechts the animal, and discovers the puncture. The Braisa is teaching us that if it has a scab, then he could ask for his money back. If he doesn't have a scab, he's trying to get his money back, but he doesn't have definitive proof that he was sold a defective item, and therefore, how much mechaver of a raya. But what would be the halacha? What would be the halacha if he didn't pay? He bought it on credit. So Rashi seems to address this issue. Rashi says most people who sell animals don't sell on credit. And therefore, the Gemara is phrasing it in a way that the buyer already paid. I'm trying to get my money back. But clearly, according to Rashi, if I didn't pay, and now the seller is coming to me, the buyer wants me to pay, so he's the Maitzi Mechaver Alvaraya, and I wouldn't have to pay. The Chassam Sofer takes it a step further. Some Sofer says, usually, as Rashi says, people pay for an animal. Why didn't I pay? It must be because I was concerned that there may be a defect here, and that is the whole reason I didn't pay. So, what our Gemara is teaching us is a very important rule. That if somebody buys defective merchandise, and as the Rishonim explained, the definition of defective in this Gemara is not specifically defective, even midaraisa. Even if an animal is considered treif, midrabanan or michumra, but I could prove that when I bought it, it was defective, I could get my money back. However, the Rishonim make a distinction between different types of defects. An animal, and this is very much bringing together a lot of the sugyas we've been learning, an animal with a puncture in the stomach is highly unusual. And therefore, if I have an animal that had this puncture, and I can prove that I had the puncture before I bought it, I can return it. But let's say, going back to Gemara's that we just mentioned, where we buy an animal that has a lung with a sircha. As we learned, a sircha is quite common. There I have no right to demand my money back. Unless I clearly stipulated, when I bought the animal, that if I find any defect, I should be able to return it. Other Rishonim say the same thing goes the other way. That if the seller, it's the same halacha, if the seller sells me an item, and he tells me, you're buying this item, and no matter what you find, it's yours, then I can't give it back. But the Rishonim make an interesting point. The Pais can make this point. They only could say this, the seller could only make the stipulation if he's specific in what he means. He can't just say a broad statement, if there's any problem, you can't give it back. He has to identify what problems he means. Says the Rosh, this is the basis for the halacha. The Rosh says it this way, that if somebody buys eggs, goes to the store and buys eggs, and he finds that those eggs are spoiled, he can return the eggs. Just like I could return the kainah, and our Gemara could return the animal. The Pais can say the same thing as the halacha, that let's say somebody buys an esrik in a sealed box, and he opens up the box and he finds that the Esrig is Apostle Esrig, he has a right to return the Esrig. Interesting to note that the Beis Yosef says that all of these halachas, when can a buyer return something, we follow the minhag hamakom. We follow what is the local custom. If the local custom is that storekeepers don't have to take back, you can't bring back defective merchandise. If the local custom is that they have to take it back, we always follow the minhag hamakom. Then there's a very interesting Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch Paskins like the Rambam. Al Gemara is a perfect example of this. We're learning now that a buyer who buys defective merchandise has the right to return the defective merchandise. Clearly. But he ruined the merchandise. Here he killed the animal. You want him to give back the animal, give back the animal, but here he killed the animal. Or, as the Shulchan Aruch discusses the case, somebody buys material from a seller, and he starts cutting up the material to make a garment out of it, and he finds that the material is defective. So he's going to give back the material, but it's all cut up. So the halacha the Shulchan Aruch says is, he doesn't have to pay for that. However, that on the other hand, let's say somebody bought defective merchandise, and he started using that defective merchandise not in its normal use, meaning, the example the place can give is, let's say I bought material from you, and I took that material, some people have it to Miron, on Lag Ba'omer, to burn it. So that's not what material is made for. So there, if I want, and then it turns out to be defective material, there I have to deduct the reduction in value of the material. And as the Nesivus explains, if I use the animal or whatever merchandise I bought in what it was meant to, what it's normally meant to be used for, the fact that I ruined it, that's not a claim against me, because that's what it's supposed to be used for. On the other hand, if I didn't use it that way, there's a claim against me. Umayshna asked the Gemara, Umayshna mekonda kuvad alma. In our perek, we've been discussing numerous holes, but we never spoke about blood. And here we're speaking about there's a difference if there's blood on it or not. Umayshna mekonda kuvad alma, the ekel of the afkav, the lek of dam, even though there is no dam, tarf mar, we always say it's treif. Here, we say that we have to look for the blood. Answers the Gemara, hasam lek al midi lemisrach. There is no way for the blood to hang on to. So the blood is not an indication of anything. Hocha, kivin ikamachet. We clearly have a needle. Iisa, the kodim shchita have, if this hole was there before the shchita, misrach havasarach, it would have stuck to the needle. The fact that it didn't stick to the needle is an indication it wasn't there. Says the Gemara. Fascinating Gemara. Amlei saf labaya. Chazi mahait suvim rabbonim. Did you see this young Talmud Chacham, Dosm Marova, that came from Eretz Yisrael, Vomer Rabbi Avira Shmani? And he said, my name is Rabbi Avira. Interesting to point out, I saw the Shem Tzion of Halacha discusses this issue. If somebody who's a rabbi, allowed to identify himself as a rabbi, it's like giving yourself honor. It's gaiva. So Al Gemara says that he called himself Rav Avira. So question is, are you allowed to do that? So some say, the Shem Shachmach said, if you have real smicha, then you're allowed to do it. We don't have real smicha. He was from Eretz Yisrael, so he had real smicha. We don't have real smicha. We're not allowed to do it. Others say he came to a place where nobody knew him. So since it was in a place that no one was knew him, he was allowed to identify himself that way. Vomer, Ma'aseh b'lifnei Rebbe. There was a situation that came to Rebbe. Ma'achet shenimtzus ba'ovei beis hakoses, where there was a needle found in the stomach. Mitzad echot. Only punctured from the inside for tarfa. And he said that the animal is treif. Sholachle. So Abaya wanted to discuss this with Rabbi Avira. Layos l'gabei. So Rabbi Avira refused to come. Ozel hu l'gabei. So Abaya went to Rabbi Avira and heard him mafarshim teach us a very important lesson. That even though apparently Abaya was greater than Rabbi Avira, Abaya was the rav of the town, he still, when he wanted to learn something, he didn't care about his own covet. He went directly to Rav Avira. Havakaya Igra. So Rav Avira was on the roof. Amar Nachas Mar. So he asked Rav Avira to please come down. V'neches. V'nechesi, he should come down so we could discuss this shaila. Lo Nachas. Rav Avira refused to come down. Solchul Gabei. So Abaye still, as we're learning, didn't care. Torah comes first. So he went up to him. Amle emeli gufa of the hechehava. Tell me exactly what happened. Amle mafta knesias anol elam rebbe rabba. I was the attendant in the shul of Rebbe. So Mefarshim make an interesting observation. Rebbe, we know, was one of the Tanoim, albeit the last, one of the last Tanoim. Abaya wasn't one of the first Amoraim. So there were many years from when Rebbe passed away till Abaya. So obviously Rebbe Avira was a very old man. But then the question is, the Gemara begins by calling him a Tzuvim Rabbanan, a young Talmud Chacham. He was obviously very old. So some say indeed he was very old. And that could help us understand why he didn't want to come to Abaya, because he felt he was much older. That could also help us understand why he called himself Rav Avira, because he was such an old man. But others say, a whole different pshat in the Gemara, that he didn't mean Rebbe, the Tana Rebbe. He meant his Rebbe, and every person, the Gal Hadar, was always called Rebbe. So again, Mafta Knesias Ano La'elam Rebbe Rabba, I was the attendant in the shul of Rebbe. V'arav Huna Tzifra, V'arav Yosef Ador, Yoshvin Lefonah, they were sitting with a Shaila. Obas Lefnei Rebbe Machat Shnimtzit Ba'isa Beis HaKaisis. And exactly this type of question came to him, where there was a needle in the Beis HaKaisis, Mitzad Efcha, V'hafcha Rebbe, and Rebbe turned over the animal, the flesh, U'matzalek Kartam, and he found some blood, V'tarfa. Because he said, "Im ein shomaka, if there is no disease there, if there is no puncture, kurtam inayim, why would there be any blood there?" Omle, to which Abaye said, "Torich tarchelahu gavra, that's what you made me schlep to come hear this. Masnisenhu, that's exactly what we learned in our Mishnah. Hemsus a basic kaisus shnek v'lechutz, and as we learned on Tapet Amid, if there's blood, it's treif." So Mefarshim asked, he was teaching him a very big chiddush. Wasn't he teaching him a chiddush that you have to do bedika? That if you see a puncture only through one side, you have the obligation to check the other side. So what's he saying? You're not teaching me anything I didn't know. He did teach him something he knew. So I saw two opposite terutzim in the Rishonim. One time I saw in the Rishonim is that it was obvious that if you see a puncture, you have to check. So that too, Abaye said it's not a chiddush. It's obvious that if you have some sort of an issue, you have to check. That's one approach. The other approach I saw is that he didn't mean to say that Rebbe meant you must do bedika. Rebbe was makbid. Rebbe was careful to do a bedika, but not that that's what the halacha requires, and therefore there was nothing new in what the reviewer told him. We begin now discussing the treifa that the Mishnah mentioned of Nefula. Nefula, as we learned in the Mishnah, is that if the animal fell from a height of 10 tefachim, so we don't know what's happening in the animal. So as Rashi and the Rishonim, the Mishnah already taught us, we have to leave that animal. We're going to discuss this extensively in our Shir today, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach. We have to leave that animal for 24 hours. And as the Rishonim say, it's a halach l'moshe m'Sinai. It's not just that we're waiting to see. It's a halach l'moshe m'Sinai that we have to wait 24 hours. And if we don't wait the 24 hours, the animal's treif. And then we see further. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Haniach behem l'mala, if somebody left an animal on the top of the building, or ba'al matz l'mata, and then he finds it on the floor, en chayshe m'shem resuke evarim. We don't have to be concerned that it got a concussion, and that it's possibly treif. And as the Rishonim explained, certainly in a situation where we have an animal that looks perfectly healthy, there's nothing to be concerned. Even in a situation where we don't have to be, where we have a concern, where the animal looks that something happened to it, we don't have to worry, because if the animal came down by itself, it's fine. Interesting to note, I saw this vart from the Mefarshim. They say a very interesting vart. They say, obviously, what we learn in this Gemara is the animal has some level of intellect, has some level of intelligence, and it knows that if it falls off the roof, to be careful not to hurt itself. Actually, the Mefarshim say, from our Gemara we see, there's a Sfasemis about this, that animals' intelligence and sometimes may be better than human intelligence. Why? Because the Gemara, even though the animal, it seems, has the intelligence to understand not to jump, that it should hurt itself, a person sometimes also makes that calculation, but he does hurt himself. So why by an animal should we not be concerned that it thought it could jump, but it couldn't? So why are we so concerned, why are we so convinced that it's no problem? So we see from here like this, Sfasema says. An animal has a level of intelligence, it's a minimal level of intelligence. That minimal level of intelligence makes sure that the animal should understand, this I could do, that I can't do. A person, because he has much higher level of intelligence, could sometimes mess him up where he thinks he could do something which he really can't. Says the Gemara, Hahu gadya dehavale lervina. There was this goat that belonged to Ravina. Chazla, the chazachush lapuma the gar. He saw some grain on the floor. Nafla igra la'ara. So it jumped. Asi l'kameid Ravashi. So it was brought to Ravashi. Amalei hadam Ravhuna. Hiniyat behem l'mal abo amatz l'mata. Eim ha'mishrim m'suke avarim. There's no problem of Risuke Avarim. What happened here was, I didn't explain it carefully. The Chazal Chusha B'Pum Degar means they saw it on a spot in the skylight. The animal was standing on the skylight, so jumped through the skylight to get to the food. So now the question was, when we just learned that if you leave an animal on top and you find it on the bottom, Ein Chayshim Mishum Risuke Avarim, we have no concern. Is that only in a situation of the Islam Midl Misrach? The case was where there was a wall, so the animal could grab onto the wall. The highlight Muslim Misrach, but who's jumping down the skylight, he has nothing to grab onto. Aydama, the shot is, as we said, Mishum Damda Nafsha. The animal understands what it can and what it can't do. For high Namda Amda Nafsha, it knows that it can't jump, that it knew it could jump. Amalei, Mishum Damda Nafsha. The reason is, because it can make its own determination. V'hai nama amda nafsha. And here too, this animal can make its own determination. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Yirmiyah. Hai shigura, if you have... Amar Rav Yirmiyah, hai... I'm sorry, I skipped a line. Hai imrsa. There was this animal. That was in the home of Rav Chaviva. That having shadr b'kar b'sraisa. It was schlepping its back legs. I'm Rav Yirmiyah. So the question is, need we be concerned? So Rav Yirmiyah said, Hai shaguna nakte. We don't have to be concerned. It's schlepping its legs. It's schlepping its legs because it has a cramp. So Taisus says, it's a short Taisus, shot in our Gemara is that this Gemara has nothing to do with an animal that jumped. The Gemara is speaking about an animal that we see that schlepping its back legs, and the Gemara is teaching us that we don't have to be concerned by such an animal. Why, if that's the case, how does it fall into this Gemara? So the Achrayim explained, because just like we learned in the previous piece of Gemara, that when an animal jumps down the roof, from the roof, we don't have to be worried, this is another example that we don't have to be worried. That's the way Tosfos learns. Other Rishonim have a whole different approach to this Gemara. And it's going to be very, very relevant to the Gemara we're going to learn on Amud Beis. We actually don't pass in this way, in fact. The Gemara on Amud Beis is going to teach us that even though we're learning in our Sugya that if an animal fell, we have to be concerned, that we have to wait 24 hours, as we just said. The Gemara on Amud Beis says that if the animal walks after it fell, we need not be concerned. So says our Gemara, then not only if the animal fell and walked, we need not be concerned, but our Gemara is teaching us even a bigger chiddush, that even if the animal walks not in a normal way, it's schlepping its back legs, that's still good enough that it's considered walking, and it's not a problem. It's not the halacha that way, but that's how they explain this Gemara. Says the Gemara, Maskla Ravima, ask Ravima, V'dima chuta shedri ifsik. Maybe why it's schlepping is because it had a broken spine. But kua, ashkechua, krivina. They checked the animal. Indeed, it had a broken spine. The halacha remains like Rav Yemer, that if you have an animal that's schlepping its back legs, we need not be concerned. That an animal should have a cramp is common. But it should have a broken spine is lo shchiach, and therefore we have no problem. So I sort of mafarshim give us a fascinating insight into this Gemara. Let's learn this Gemara, they say. Ravina agrees with the halacha that you have an animal that's walking, schlepping its back legs, we need not be concerned. Yet we find that this animal that had these symptoms, Ravina said to check if it's a treif. And indeed found to be a treif. Why? So the Mefarshim say that is the siyata d'shmaya that a Gol of Yisrael has. That even though a Gol of Yisrael knows what it says in the Gemara, knows what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, and knows that it's mutter, sometimes the siyata d'shmaya he has been a shmayim is that really this animal is treif, even though if you look into the Shulchan Aruch it says it's kasher. And that's exactly what happened with Ravina here. Even though Ravina knew the halacha, he's not arguing on the halacha that an animal that walks with the legs schlepping is kosher. Ravina had the siyata d'shmayim and a shmayim that there's something to check here, and indeed it was turned out to be treif, that the people shouldn't eat under Ravina's watch non-kosher meat. Says the Gemara further. Amrav Huna, Zecharim Amnachem Zezeh, animals that are fighting with each other, ein choshim mishim revusa resukei averim, we don't have to worry that they got this concussion. Afagav the midva v'kaimi, even though we see that they're all banged up. Simra ba'alma hudanakalu. We just say it's a fever, it's a temporary thing. However, says the Gemara, inofla la'ara, if while these animals are fighting each other, one of the animals falls to the ground, vayde chashina. And as Rishonim make the point, we said when we learned the Mishnah already, that for an animal to be considered a nefula, it had to fall from 10 tefachim. Here the animal was standing on the ground. It didn't fall from 10 tefachim. So why are we concerned for nefula? Say to Mefarshim, that's only in a case where the animal has a reason to believe that maybe it's going to fall. So it watches itself, unless it's from, a higher distance. This animal, again we go back to the intellect of an animal, intelligence of an animal, if it's fighting another animal, does not expect to be knocked down. And therefore, since it doesn't expect to be knocked down, if it is indeed knocked down, then we consider it in the fula, even though it didn't fall 10 tefachim. Says the Gemara, Amrav Menashe, Hani Dichri Deganvi Ganvi. If you have animals that were stolen by Ganovim, Ein Choshin Mishim Risuke Evarim. And again, here too, the Mefarshim say, we're obviously referring to a situation where we see the animal is not look normal. If the animal looks fine, we have nothing to be concerned about. We have a situation where we have that concern. My tama, ki shadalhu, amasnai shadalhu. The ganovim, if they steal animals and they throw them over the fence, are very careful that the animal should land on the stomach, not on the back. Why? Because hecha, the ladrina kamayu, because they want the animals to keep on running. And if they're going to fall on the back and be all injured, they won't be able to run. Ehedrinu, if the ganovim, if the thieves decide to return the animal, vadichshin, we need to be concerned. However, says the Gemara, fahani miladehedrinu machmasira, if the ganovim just return the animal because they got scared, so they're just going to return it, they're going to throw it over anyway, just to get the animals back. However, if the ganovim decide to return the animals, machmas tshuva, because they're doing tshuva, they're certainly tshuva ma'al yisru da'avdi, they're careful to do a proper tshuva, and we need not be concerned that they threw him back in a way that the animal should get injured. Amar Yehuda Marav, Hikal Roisha, if somebody's hitting the animal, and as the Tfuh Shor, based on the Rishonim, explains this Gemara, he says it's very common for people, it was very common for people to hit their animals. And if you hit the animal in a normal fashion, that's considered that you didn't do anything questionable. Here the issue, we're not talking about Tzar Baal Chaim here. Here the issue is, what is considered normal that it should not be an issue of a possible nefula, of a possible treifa? What is not? So therefore, says the Gemara, Hika roisha v'ochal zanvoy. A zanvoy ochal play roisha. So the way Rashi explains it is as follows. When you hit the animal with a stick, the place where it really hurts is where the impact is on the animal. So if you take a stick and you hit the animal, and the impact is by the head, not on the spinal cord, or vice versa, the impact is by the tail, again, not on the spinal cord, we need not be concerned. Furthermore, k'neged kol shadra kula, if you gave it a zetz, that it was again along the entire spinal cord, where the impact is evenly distributed along the entire spinal cord, there too, ein chashim shum risuk evarim, we need not be concerned. However, vishalim chutra palga de gaba, instead of hitting the animal along the length of the animal, you hit the animal along its width. So all of the impact was right in the middle of the spinal cord. So we have to be concerned, as we've been learning, when you have the entire impact on one area of the spinal cord, it might have broken the spinal cord. Chashinin. Furthermore, Iyispe Kitri, sometimes you have a smooth stick, and sometimes you have a stick that has like knobs on it. And again, if you gave the animal you hit the animal with that type of stick, so it's not evenly distributed, again, Chashinin. Says the Gemara, V'michaya paske, if you hit it on its back, again, chashinin, we have to be concerned. We begin a new sugya. Amar Rav Nachman, beis harechem emir shum risukei varim. So the way Moshe Rishonim explained this Gemara is as follows. If a child of an animal, if an animal had a child, so obviously that child went through the trauma of a childbirth. The question in the Gemara is the trauma of a childbirth considered like a nefula that the halakha should be that you have to wait 24 hours? So Rav Nachman says, Beis HaRechem, the fact that a child went through childbirth, ain't by Mishur Mesuka Avar. So Taisus and all the Rishonim asked the obvious question. We learned in our parak at the beginning of the parak, and we're going to discuss this concept again, Mirtza Hashem, that what is the main characteristic of a treifa? That a treifa doesn't survive 24 months. So most animals that have children, the children certainly survive 24 months. So what's the question over here that there's a discussion if a childbirth should make an animal into a nefula? So because of that question, many Rishonim explained that the Gemara here is not talking about a regular childbirth. It's referring to a situation where the mother was a makshalelid, where the mother was having difficulty having the child. Some say it's referring to a situation where the child, when it came out of its mother's womb, was deposited right on the floor, not on something soft. Some explain we're referring to a situation where the child came out of its mother and it's not walking very much in line with the way we've been learning that entire year. It's not walking in its normal fashion, and that's why we have reason to be concerned. And yet Rav Nachman is teaching us, that's the way most Rishonim explain this Gemara. The Rambam, we're not going to learn the Gemara with the Rambam, but just to quote the Rambam's opinion. The Rambam's opinion in explaining the Gemara is that we're not talking about the child. We're talking about the mother. And the question of the Gemara is that if an animal went through childbirth, need we be concerned that the mother now is nefula and that the loch is that we should have to wait 24 hours before we shech the mother? Rav Nachman says just because a mother went through childbirth, we need not be concerned. We're going to learn like the first shita. Amalei Ravler of Nachman, Tanya de Messiah. I bring you a brisa to support your opinion, says Ravat Rav Nachman. The halacha we're going to learn in Masech the Nida is, Tinek ben Yom Echad, B'tam B'ziva. We know the halacha is that if somebody has an emission of Zov, so if he has one emission, he's like a Balkari. He waits a day. If he's two emissions, he needs Zayin and Nekiyim. Have to be two emissions. Three emissions, not only does he have to wait Zayin and Nekiyim, he also has to bring a carbon. So the halacha is even a one-day-old child is could be considered a zov. Now, as we're going to learn in Masech the Nida Mitzvah, the Torah Kedoshah says as follows when it speaks about ziva: Ish ish ki yazav b'psaray. The Torah says b'psaray. So we, Gemara Masechta Neda explains that a person is only considered a zav if it happened without an external stimulus that should have caused the ziva. But if the halacha, if the ziva could be identified that it came because of an external situation, he ate too much, he slept too much, he drank too much, whatever different external reasons, that he's not a zav. So here says the Gemara, the Raisa Masechta Neda teaches us that a child that's 1 day old, just born, just experienced the trauma of childbirth, is a zav. Says the Gemara, if we're going to argue, if we're going to suggest that childbirth causes this to the body, wouldn't that be the best reason not to make him a zav? There was an external reason. The fact that the Gemara there, the Braisa there, still calls him a zav, is a raya that childbirth is no big deal. Answer the Gemara, it's not a raya. Hachamai skinin. There it's referring to a situation, shiyotza derech daifin. It was born by cesarean. It was born by cesarean, so it didn't have that trauma of childbirth. So certainly, the ziva could be attributed to zav. It could be indeed, if it had natural childbirth, there's risuke avarim, and the ziva wouldn't be a ziva. So Gemara attempts from a different raya. A Gemara Masechta Beya. The Gemara says, if an animal was born in Yontif, even though we know, we discussed this many times, that everything that we use in Yontif has to be menamuch, and has to be prepared before Yontif. So this baby wasn't even in the world before Yontif. How can we shecht it on Yontif? The answer is because it was part of its mother. And if the halachas we're going to learn in this Masechta many times, if you shecht the mother, the shechita works for the child as well. Therefore, the shechita of the mother is affected, it's considered muchen because of its mother. But let's ask a great question. If we're going to say that every child that experiences childbirth is risik of orim, how can you shecht on Yontif? Don't you have to wait 24 hours? It's a raya, you don't have to wait 24 hours. It says more again, it's not a compelling raya. It went with a cesarean, and therefore it's not concerned. Toshma. So Gemara attempts another raya. Again, the Gemara Masechta Beis says, we've discussed many times that a Bechor has to be given to a Kayin and brought as a carbon. But if the Bechor is a Balmum, then you could eat it, the Kayin could eat it by itself. What happens if a Bechor was born with a Mum? Shezer Menamuchen. You could shecht it on Yontif. How could you shecht it on Yontif? It's not 24 hours. So right, you don't have to wait 24 hours. Says the Gemara, Bechitei Mahochanami, Shiyotze Derech Daifin. If you're going to say here too, it's talking about that was born with a cesarean. The question is, derech taifa mikadosh? Is that animal born through cesarean kadosh? Vam Rabbi Yochanan, maidahay Rabbi Shimon. Even though Rabbi Shimon has a question regarding tumas leida, we know a woman has a child, becomes tamei. And there's a machlokes rabbanan Rabbi Shimon, if there's tumas leida only by natural childbirth. Or Rabbi Shimon's opinion is, even by cesarean, Linya kachim shayna kaddish. Everybody agrees that it's not kaddish if it was born by cesarean. So if we're considering it a bechor, so obviously it wasn't born by cesarean, as the Torah says. We say it every morning, petarechem. It has to be a natural birth. So you can't say the teretz of cesarean. So how, so it's, and yet the Gemara is saying, Masechta Beya, that you could check it that very day. Why? Because it's a proof that you don't have to wait 24 hours. Says the Gemara, Hachem Ma'iskinen Shehifras Kabakarka. As I said earlier, even though we're discussing the halacha of Nefula, the halacha is that if the animal stands up, then you don't have to wait 24 hours. That's talking about such a situation. And in fact, the Rishonim say, now that the Gemara gave this teretz, that's Hifras Kabakarka, all the previous questions could have been answered the same way. We don't have to say Derech Daifin, we don't have to say cesarean. We can now say that in all these cases, the animal stood up, and if the animal stood up, you have nothing to be concerned. Vamar Rav Nachman, furthermore says Rav Nachman, who based on B'chayim, they used to pull the animal down in the slaughterhouse, pushing the animal down in the slaughterhouse, Eimim Shem Risuke Varam, does not represent an issue of Risuke Varam. Says the Gemara, who Torah, the Nafal, there was an animal that was felled in the basement of Tachayim, V'shtame Kol Negeseya. What does V'shtame Kol Negeseya mean? Some say, that it was yelling in such pain that everybody could hear it yelling. Others say the impact that it fell on the floor was so loud that everybody could hear it hit the floor. Or Rabbi Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Masa shokel mishufrei mishufrei shufrei. He considered the animal perfectly kosher, was slaughtered immediately afterwards, and he took from its meat. Amalei Rabbanan menolach ha. From where do you know this halacha? Amalei hacha amirav tiparn of noyitz. When an animal sees that's being pushed down, it sticks out its claws to help it not get such a strong impact. Achmegil aretz. Continues the Gemara. Amri Yehuda amirav amda. If the animal stands up, you don't have to wait 24 hours. However, even though you don't have to wait 24 hours, bedika v'adibayu. Before you shech the animal, and we're going to speak about the bedika further, you have to examine that it's fine. Holcha, if the animal is able to walk, ain't it tzarech bedika. Then you don't even have to do bedika. That's a proof that the animal is fine. However, I saw two interesting piskei halach and the piskei tshuva. One he says is that the animal gets up or walks, it has to be without human assistance. It has to be able to get up or walk by itself. To the degree that the Piskei Tshuva says, let's say you picked up the animal, so we just said it's not good. While bir halacha, the animal goes back down. And now it gets up by itself. It's too late. He says, once you help the animal get up at one point, it's considered already that it can't, it's already considered that that's not a proof. Furthermore, discuss the Piskei Tshuva, very interesting shaila. While bir halacha, if the animal walks, so we just learned in the Gemara that if the animal walks, we could be more lenient. While bir halacha, the animal walks, but the animal, we know this animal, it used to walk with a lot of energy, and now it's not walking with the same amount of energy. What will be the din? He says, l'chatchila, we should wait, but the b'dieved, as long as it's walking, we don't have to do anything more. Rechi bar Ashyama, achazu v'achazu, whether it stands or whether it even walks, tzrich v'dika. Amar Yehuda, Amar Yirmei ba'achu, Amar Rav, posh the yad alamit, it just sticks out its hand with an attempt to get up, av bishloi amda, even though if it didn't actually get up, akur ragel ahalach, or the same thing, it tried to pick up its hind leg, av bishloi holcha. Rav Chizda amar, near Allah amad, you don't even need that much. Rav Chizda says, even if it attempted to get up, abishloy amda. Machlaik is how to understand what Rav Chizda means. Is Rav Chizda coming to explain what Rav Yirmei means, or is Rav Chizda coming to argue and be even more makel than Rav Chizda? Amar Meim and Shmeid Rav Dimi, Nadua, the foolish Amru, Tzrich Bedika, when we said that the Nefila, the animal that fell, required Bedika, Kneg B'nei Ma'ayim. We have to check next to the intestines. Amalei Ma'azutra, Hachami Mishmeid Rav Papa, Tzrich Bedika, Kneg Beis Chalal Kulay, the entire length of the animal has to be checked. Machlokes Rishonim, if also the head has to be checked in such a situation, or if this mandamid holds Beis Chalal, it means the entire length of the animal, but not including the tail and the head. Machlokes Rishonim.